Hello and welcome everyone. Today is February the 13th, 2019, and this is our Whole Life Healing Program with Dr. Alex Lloyd. My name is Johanna Chan. I'll be assisting Alex today. And before we hear from him on one of our secret spiritual laws of nature, which he shares every week, I want to share with you this disclaimer. This presentation is for education and informational purposes only. And since we're going to be talking about issues of health and well-being, we wanted to make sure that you understand this information is not intended to heal or cure anything. Everything in the presentation are the opinions of Dr. Alex Lloyd or myself, Johanna Chan. You should always check with a licensed healthcare provider about any specific health concerns you may have. And we love to share this quote as well each week. It says, "We are beginning now to understand things that we know in our hearts are true but can never measure. As we get a better understanding how little we know about the body, we begin to realize the next big frontier in medicine is energy medicine. It's not the mechanistic parts of the joints moving. It's not the chemistry of our body. It's understanding for the first time how energy influences how we feel." And that was a quote by Dr. Oz back in November 2007. And the reason we bring it up is that the purpose of these calls is to provide current and relevant information on the subject of energy medicine from a variety of perspectives, including a medical, a scientific, and mostly spiritual perspective. So with that said, I'm going to hand it over to you, Alex, for our topic today, or our title today, which is Dying for Love.
Thank you so much, Johanna, and welcome everyone, whether you're listening live or by recording. We're so very honored by your presence. We try to give you every week a little something to think about, a little something to challenge you, and a little something to apply to your life to make your week better, and every once in a while, maybe your life better. Today, we're talking about dying to love. All right, and this is what so many people miss in their life, even though way down deep they know it, but they end up not living it. And it makes such a huge difference in your life if you just go from knowing it way down deep to actually living it in your life. And I'm going to kind of try to tell you what that is and then tell you how to start living it in the next few minutes. So if that sounds valuable to you, then maybe this 15, 20, 25 minutes will be something that you want to take a run at in your life. Let me start, first of all, with some quotes. The spiritual law today is dying for love. Martin Luther King Jr., "If you have not discovered something you are willing to die for, then you are not fit to live." Victor Hugo, "I only take a half share in the Civil War. I'm willing to die, but I'm not willing to kill." All right? So he's willing to die for something he really believes in. Paul Watson, "In the great scheme of things, what matters is not how long you live, but why you live, what you stand for, and what you are willing to die for." Andrew Clavin, "If you're not at least willing to die for something, something that really matters, in the end, you die for nothing." Okay. Let's talk about this. Dying for love. The other name for the stress response, which according to the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, an arm of the federal government of the United States, 90%+ of all illness and disease is related to stress. Dr. Bruce Lipton from Stanford Medical School says, "Sorry, CDC, it's not 90, it's at least 95% of all illness and disease related to stress." And it's more than that. It's not just illness and disease. It's divorce. It's unhappiness. It's failure. It's almost anything that you can name. The other name, there's actually two other names for the stress response. The clinical name is the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis. Say that five times fast. But the more common name, other than the stress response, is the fear response. The only thing that is supposed to activate our stress response, if it's working correctly, and if we're working correctly, is impending death, a situation when we very well could die physically, okay? End of Alex on Earth, all right? So the thing that is at the root of almost any problem that you can name is fear when there's not a good reason to be afraid, all right? So in other words, if I go into the stress response, which today we know happens on average 5 to 30 times a day, when it's supposed to happen once or twice a year for 15, 20 minutes, and then you're right back out of it, okay? But if I'm going into stress, as so many people are today, over the mail coming, or the stock market going down, or it raining when I wasn't expecting it to rain, or stepping in a pothole full of water, or not getting a parking place close to wherever I'm going, or traffic, or somebody looking at me funny, and on and on and on. But if I go into stress over those things, the reality is, according to my autonomic nervous system, I am believing that somebody looking at me funny may very well physically kill me in the next 15 minutes. Or that because there's traffic, or worse traffic than I expected or whatever, that I am believing that the traffic is going to physically kill me in the next 15 minutes. Because I'm only supposed to go into that stress when it could be something that could kill me in the next 15 minutes or so. And so the stress response is to siphon energy away from my internal organs, for the most part, away from digestion and away from the immune system, to my large muscles and animalistic thinking and my heart so it can race so I can fight harder, run faster. Okay. So the concept of dying is related to fear. All fear is ultimately a fear of death. If I'm functioning correctly, that one or two times a year that it kicks in the way it's supposed to, because I could very well die in the next 15 minutes because big tractor trailers pulling over on me on interstate, and I need to, before I even have time to think about it, veer my car away so that that doesn't happen. Or someone breaks into my house wanting to do harm to me and my family, all right? That is a correct functioning, and it is that my life is in danger in the next 10 to 15 minutes. Okay. So what I'm saying today is that what we are dying for the most as adults, or we should be, is love. The way most people function these days, they're dying based on the stock market and money. Or they're dying based on the way people smile at them and affirm them or frown at them and don't like them. Or we're dying related to money, not money for our basic needs, no. Money for a certain standard of living with bells and whistles and extra things typically, et cetera. So, ladies and gentlemen, I would assert that we're dying for the wrong things. We should be dying for love, not for money, not for stuff, not even for other people to think well of us, but for love. The Harvard Grant Study came out just a very few years ago, the largest study ever done in the history of the world on the human condition. Took, I believe, over 75 years, I believe over $20 million, 10, 20 million. I'm blanking on that a little bit right now, but lots and lots of money. Thousands of participants, big headline news story when it came out, wrote a best-selling book about it. The end result was to try to determine what is the most important thing to the human condition and experience? What is the thing that makes the biggest difference? What's it all about? What's the meaning? What's the purpose? Any way you want to say that. What is it? And the conclusion of their study is that they found it. And it was five words. It was five words. Happiness equals love, full stop. Full stop meaning end of discussion, period. We don't need to go any further. This is it. Happiness equals love. The great majority of the polls and studies that have been done in the history of polls and studies, going back, let's say, 100 years, have found that what everybody, the number one most popular answer to what do you want most is happiness, all right? No matter what country you ask, it's happiness. Now, I imagine if they asked that in a place where people were starving to death and didn't have food, they would say food. But beyond just basic needs, the far and away most popular answer to that question is happiness. Well, Harvard says happiness comes from love. Period. End of discussion. That's it. Okay. The significance of that is that love is typically not what we're, in quotation marks, dying for in our life. That's money. That's acceptance. That's success. That's notoriety. That's fame. That's the new big screen TV. That's fill in the blank. Almost always some external circumstance. Okay? If you're dying for those things, it's going to kill you. If you're dying for love, it's going to heal you. It's going to empower you to success, to happiness, to all those things that you want most and you know you want most. You just haven't connected love as the way that you'll get them. Well, how come we don't connect that? How come the Harvard Grant Study was such a revelation rather than work your head off to become a millionaire and then buy your happiness? Well, I think there's several reasons for that. One, that's the way almost everything in the natural world works. Whether you call it the law of attraction, you reap what you sow, Newton's three laws of motion, a body in motion stays in motion, number one, number two, until or unless something acts on it with enough power to change it. And number three, if number two happens, for every action there's an equal opposite reaction. It's natural law. It's the way everything works. So when it comes to my happiness and success, I apply those methods to it. That's my blueprint. That's my overlay. So let me, with my willpower, start working hard and make those things happen that are going to make me happy. The money, the success, the notoriety, the safety, the whatever it is. The problem is, love is not natural law. Love is spiritual law, in my opinion. So you can't earn on the basis of natural law the thing that is spiritual. That comes from spiritual law. And it's very often a paradox, and this one is as well. What's the paradox about it? As an adult, in order to get love, you have to die to get it. You have to die to get it. What's the problem with that? Well, everything in our adult life is to avoid dying. That's what activates the stress response, is fear of death. And I'm thinking the not having enough money is going to kill me. Somebody looking at me funny is going to kill me. Traffic's going to kill me. Okay? I'm trying to avoid all that stuff. That's the stuff that makes me angry, sad, have anxiety, low self-worth, unforgiveness, all that sort of thing. Okay? So I'm trying to avoid all that. I'm trying to avoid dying in every possible way I can. But the law of love is that you have to die to yourself to get it. In contrast, if we're operating by natural law, we keep trying to save ourselves from dying. And when we do that, we lose ourselves, and sometimes forever. Love will make me, love will make you. The best version of Alex is only possible if love is making Alex. If fear is making Alex, and one of the two is going to get you, either love or fear, your brain is proof of that. It's programmed to constantly scan for a love-based signal or a fear-based signal. And if it gets the fear-based signal, it does one thing. If it gets the love-based signal, it does another. And depending on which one of those happens, it really controls everything about your physiology, your thoughts, your feelings, your actions and behaviors, you name it. Okay? So if I want the worst version of me, that's what comes from fear. That's what comes from defining myself by the traffic or how somebody looks at me or what kind of house I live in or car I drive or being safe all the time. Love requires you to risk all the time. Okay? So which you do you want to be? Because fear will make you one version of you, but only love will make the best version of you. So what do I have to die to if I want love? And everybody does. By the way, you can Google that too. If you ask people what's most important in life, not just what they want, if you ask them what they want, they'll tend to say happiness. If you ask people what's most important in life, if they've got a health problem, they may tend to say health. But outside of that, the biggest answer is love, right? I mean, the Beatles had it right all those years ago. All you need is love. Sorry, couldn't resist. But they're right. We know it. It's what all the movies are about, the poems are about, the songs are about, the stories are about. Okay? We know that inherently. But we're trying to get love by natural law instead of spiritual law. We're trying to get love in a way that actually prevents us from having love. So if I actually want to have a heart full of love, a marriage full of love, a career full of love, and the things that love brings, which is ultimate success, then I have to die. To me. In what ways? Well, I've written down a few here. You have to die to results. The end results. Dan Gilbert called those expectations. And he said expectations are a happiness killer, based on his research at Harvard and his best-selling book, Stumbling into Happiness. You have to give up results. And that's often the one, in my experience, that causes the person to say, you know what? I really want love and all that stuff, but I just can't give up the results. The idea of not getting the results that I feel like I have to have is a deal breaker for me. And so they keep living by natural law, getting fear and the stress that comes from fear instead of love. You have to die to results. You have to die to your flesh, okay? We are in a body, at least for 70, 80, 90 years. And so often that body kind of leads us around. And that's why there's the epidemic to opioids. That's why there's the epidemic to internet pornography. That's why there's the epidemic to things that feel good to my body, and another epidemic to stay away from things that feel bad to my body, like maybe hard work and sore muscles and some other things. Withdrawing from opioids, withdrawing from alcohol, okay? Those things feel good to my flesh, to my body. I have to die to my flesh. Now, that doesn't mean the practical thing of taking care of yourself. That's a very loving thing to do for yourself, your family, everyone, all right? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the habits and addictions based on your physical body. You have to die to the flesh. You have to die to pleasure as an end result. In other words, if I choose love instead of fear, I may not get the pleasure I want. I have to die to pain if I choose love instead of fear. I may get more pain, not even have the pain I have go away. I may get even more. You might, because love requires you dying to pain and pleasure. Love requires that you die to what others think. Now, I don't mean offending people. I'm talking about the opposite, about living your life being one person externally and another person internally so that people will like you, okay? You have to live your life in love, and if they like you, they like you. If they don't, they don't. But living for other people liking you or thinking certain things about you is fear-based and will lead you to stress, not to love. You have to die to what, to many notions of success. Now, I believe love leads you to your ultimate perfect success for you virtually every time. But it may not at all be your notion of success before you start that journey. That may be the great big house, the fancy car, the other people thinking you're the best thing since sliced bread, okay? So you have to die to maybe your fleshly notion of success and lay that down, and what you will get is the success that's just right for you. We also see this in nature, okay? a seed, and a lot of experts will even say that a seed basically goes into the ground, and it doesn't just reproduce and a plant grows or two plants grow or whatever, and then you get a tree and then you get fruit and whatever. Many experts will describe the process the seed goes through as a death. The seed kind of breaks open, which is kind of the analogy of death. And when it does that, the inside of that seed is what becomes the new plant, but it never would have happened if that seed had not died and broken open, okay? We have to die and break open to love, for love to have its way, even if it's scary, even if I'm not sure where this is going, even if the end results are not what I think I want most, even if the thing I'm most afraid of happens on that path of love, I'm still willing to die to what I want from my flesh and let love direct my path. Two other things, and I'm going to close this up. It's common knowledge in circles like AA and people who deal with a lot of negative habits and addictions that sometimes one of the most powerful positive things that can happen to someone is when they hit bottom. In fact, I've even heard in counseling and therapy sometimes the trainers in a certain type of therapy say, okay, if they start crying or something, don't rush over there and hug them or put a hand on their shoulder or try to comfort them. Let them suffer, okay? Sometimes, and they would say, as far as why you do that, over and over and over sometimes we rescue somebody from hitting bottom when hitting bottom is exactly what they need to do. Because sometimes when you hit bottom, then you're open to any solution. You have nothing to lose, okay? So I think hitting bottom is a group of people who have, in a sense, died, and very often they're able to change things that they never could change before they hit bottom or if they had not hit bottom. The second group is people who have near-death experiences. And this is kind of fairly common knowledge as well, and you can Google and find this all over the place. When someone goes through a near-death experience, it very often changes what conventional wisdom says cannot be changed. If the person was very angry and mean, very often after a near-death experience, they're very kind. If they were greedy and stingy, very often they will be generous. If they were worried all the time, they might be carefree. But over 90% of the time, the change is a positive one that came from death, all right? So many of these people were literally pronounced dead, and then they came back, all right? But what happened during the period that they were supposedly dead was so transforming to them, was such a powerful memory and feeling and belief that it became their new default for their life from then on. And very often that does not change until death. So again, we have an example where death is the facilitator for life, and in this case, for love. So this week, I would challenge you to pray, to meditate. Am I trying to save my life, or am I willing to die for what I believe is most important, which in this case would be love. Love of yourself, love of other people around you, people closest to you, love related to God, all of the above, okay? Every issue at its root is a relationship issue, because every issue boils down to a fear basis or a love basis. There is no love without relationship. And fear is the absence of love. So are you losing your life slowly but surely because you're trying to save your life, because you're trying to get what you want rather than what is most important? Or are you willing to die, as Martin Luther King Jr. and several others I read to you at the start of this, are you willing to die for love? I would encourage you to think about it, pray about it, and if you're willing, join me and Johanna and many others all over the world on this journey where, I'm willing to die for love. I'm willing to give up the results. I'm willing to give up the desires of my flesh. I'm willing to give up the pain-pleasure thing, what others think. Live in the present moment in love as best I can, and whatever the results are from that, so be it. Let the chips fall where they may. I will tell you, I've lived both ways, and I will never go back. How about you? That's it for me, Johanna.
All right, Alex. Thank you so much. Very powerful. Okay, so we're going to change gears a bit and give you all an opportunity, if you like, to get a custom code or custom trilogy process if you know the trilogy. If you would like to have one, you can raise your hand by pressing star 2 on your phone. That's going to raise your hand. I'll be able to unmute your line and speak to you, and we can test and get a customized code or process for you. You want to let me know if you know healing codes 1 and 2, and if you actually know all the components of the trilogy. If you're new to anything like the codes of the trilogy, you might want to wait until you get more familiar with the actual hand positions and the process before jumping in and asking for a customized code, because we're not going to be explaining how to do a healing code or how to do a trilogy here. For those of you who want to know how to do a trilogy, and we recommend everybody do, there's a free training for trilogy. If you go to dralexanderlloyd.com/trilogy-training, there's a free video there that shows you how to do the trilogy process, which is amazing. All right, so we're going to, for anyone that would like to have a code or a trilogy process, you can raise your hand pressing star 2. Star 2 is going to raise your hand, and hopefully my system is working here, because I see one hand up. Okay, let's open the line for someone. North Carolina, 8786. 8786, your line is open.
Hello, Johanna, this is Beth.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. And what would you like to address today?
The very topic that Alex just taught. I want to walk right into that, please.
Okay, so are you feeling some blocks to that, from allowing that? What is it? Is it like you want to remove any blocks?
Yeah, remove any blocks, any fears, anything that would get in my way from living 100% from love, giving up the results.
Okay, very good. When you think about doing that, what comes to mind as far as a fear?
I think it's a trust, maybe like a trust in God, just being in total surrender, I think is where the fear comes up.
Okay, and the fear is that if you do that, you're just going to be scared, not knowing what to expect, or you're going to be having to give up too much, or more specifically, what is that?
Maybe it's the fear of the unknown. or even that I won't be able to do it.
Okay, so it's kind of twofold. There's probably several limiting beliefs there.
Yep.
Okay, on a scale from 1 to 10, how strong is that right now?
About a 7.
Okay. Is there an early memory that comes up when you can remember the same type of fear about doing something or trusting, not knowing the future, not knowing the outcome?
The first thing I get is just my dad. Fear issues related to my dad. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we want to address those. And I would take this and take it through all 12 categories, looking at all relationships in your life, whether it's with yourself,
okay,
others, such as your dad, or even with God, looking for those limiting beliefs that could be blocks, you just really letting go and really letting love have its way. All right, Beth, would you like to do a custom code or a trilogy process?
Trilogy, please.
Okay, we're going to do
that. And I know all the codes.
Okay, very good. Okay, can you say for me, I desire to be healthy.
I desire to be healthy.
I am ready to test truthfully.
I am ready to test truthfully.
The fear issues.
The fear issues.
Okay, very good. All right. So I'm going to suggest we do is first time through in the first minute, tap from the eyebrows all the way down to the side of the hands. So just start at the eyebrows and go to the side of the eyes, under eyes, etc. Go all the way down. If they're not in the exact order they are on the chart, just make sure you get all of them. Usually starting from the top all the way down is the easiest way to do that. Stop at the side of the hand. So do the side of the hand. And next time, you're going to start with collarbone. Again, side of the hand. Then under the nose, the chin. Then go to the eyebrows. Under the nose again. The chin, then we go to the thumb, the index finger, the middle finger, and then the 9G.
Let me just make sure I got that. Did you say thumb, index, and then middle finger, then 9G?
Yes.
I got it.
Okay. The healing code. Okay. First position. Healing code 2, we're going to do both hands below the belly. So below the belly button, both hands. Second position, left hand temple, right hand jaw. Third position, left hand brainstem, right hand high bridge. Fourth position, you're going to switch. Left hand high bridge, right hand brainstem. All right?
Got it.
Okay. The third minute. We're going to start with one swoop from the base all the way up over to the top of the spine. So first time through, you're going to do that. Second time, you're going to start at the heart, and you're going to hold it there for maybe, a few extra seconds, like 4 seconds, 5 seconds. Imagine it being opened and in harmonizing with all the others. Then you're going to slide down to the base. Then you're going to slide up to the solar plexus and pause. Then slide up to the throat and pause. And then go all the way up and over. Okay, and then one more time. This time you're going to start at the base and go all the way up, but pause just a few extra seconds on each center. But go all the way straight up over to the top of the spine. And that's it.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you so much. God bless.
You are welcome. And I would recommend using this for all 12 categories, looking for those same kind of feelings, a fear of the unknown, whether it was in relationships with yourself, with someone else, for example, your father or even God. And those are your main blocks.
Okay.
Okay. Very good.
Beautiful,
God bless you.
Beautiful teaching. God bless you. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So we can have another caller. If you want to raise your hand, pressing star 2. Star 2 is going to raise your hand. We have another caller from Illinois. Your number is 1057. 1057, your line is open.
Hi, Johanna. This is Denise.
Hi, Denise. What would you like to address?
Well, I'm having a physical issue going on. It's stomach and digestive issues. And after hearing Dr. Lloyd, I'm realizing that I'm stressing small stuff. So I'm thinking this could be related.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, how strong is it? And what do you feel? Is it fear about your digestive system, or is it fear about something else?
Right, fear. I think it's kind of fear of the unknown, of not knowing if there's, something serious. I've had tests done and everything was okay, but it's still kind of bothering me, and I'm realizing that I'm feeling like I'm stuck in the past, if that makes sense. I don't let go of things in the past, and I hold on to things, memories and things like that. So I think I have a fear of going forward, not knowing, the previous caller said, just putting that faith in God to let go. And I think that's where I have a problem with.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so what we're going to address this, dear, and particularly this limiting belief, fear of moving forward and not understanding or not knowing what's going to happen. But look for memories in your life when you have really felt that significant. Is there anything that comes up just now when you're thinking of it?
Something. Yeah.
Okay, in that something that just came up, how strong is it?
Probably about an 8.
Okay, that's going to be one of the first ones, okay?
Okay.
And I would take this through all 12 categories, I would take this through every category. Now, would you like to have a custom code or a custom trilogy process?
I do know trilogy and the healing codes, too.
Okay, very good. We'll get a trilogy.
Okay,
can you say for me, I desire to be healthy?
I desire to be healthy.
I am ready to test truthfully.
I am ready to test truthfully.
The fear issues.
The fear issues.
Okay, good. Okay, the first round through the tapping, just go ahead and start with the eyebrows. Go all the way down to the side of the hands.
Okay.
Okay, the second, you're going to start with the side of the hand and then jump up to the collarbones.
Okay.
Then go to the sore spots. You can tap or rub those, whatever you like. And then we're going to go back up to the eyebrows.
Okay.
The side of the eyes.
Okay.
Under the eyes.
All right.
Then go down to the hand. It's going to be little finger, thumb.
All right.
And then you're going to go back to the collarbone. Then the middle of the chest or the thymus.
All right.
Now we're going to jump back up to under the, I'm sorry. No, we're not. We're going to go down to under the arms.
Okay, the last was middle of the thymus.
Yeah.
And then under the arms.
Yeah. And then we're going to go under the nipples.
Okay.
And then do the 9G.
Oh, okay, the whole sequence in the 9G.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I just call it the 9G or the 9 gamma. I call it the 9G.
Right. Okay, I got it.
Okay, now we're going to give you a custom code. So just a moment. Okay, first position, left-hand temple, right-hand Adam's apple.
Temple, right, Adam's, okay.
Second is both hands high bridge.
High bridge, okay.
The third is left hand below the belly and the right hand on the brain stem.
Left hand below belly, right brain stem, okay.
And that's it.
Okay.
Okay, and the third minute is going to be for the governing and conception and chakras.
Okay.
The first thing we're going to start at the base, and you're going to pause just slowly, going up at each energy center. So start at the base, hold your hands there for about, 3 or 4 seconds or a little longer if you want, depending on how long you want to do this. You can hold it for a little longer, or you can just hold it for like 3 or 4 seconds or four or five seconds. Start with the base, and then just move up every single energy center and go all the way up, taking your time to go all the way up and over and then at the top of the spine.
Okay.
Okay. Now, the second time through, we're going to start at you're going to start at the solar plexus. Solar plexus. And you're going to stay there for a few seconds, just imagining it being open and in harmony with all the others. Then you're going to slide up to the throat.
Okay.
And you're going to pause there for a few seconds, imagining that one being opened and harmonized. And then keep your hands on your body. You're going to slide all the way down to the base.
Okay.
And again, pause there for a few seconds. And then go all the way up and over to the top of the spine. And that's it.
Okay. And over. Okay. So that was three times doing the...
Yes. The chakras and the governing conception, yes.
Okay. Sure. Okay. Very good.
Okay. Very good.
And how
I would
long
use this and take it. I would take it through all 12 categories. It's going to be most effective for 2 weeks, although people are finding it works a lot longer. So, you just see how you feel with it.
Okay. And do you think once a day is?
It's really up to you. I'd say at least once a day.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Thanks.
God bless you.
Have a great day. Thank you. You too.
Okay, and we have one other caller. Okay, let's see. From, again, North Carolina, and your number is 0627. 0627, your line is open.
Hello, it's Diane.
Hi, Diane.
How are you?
What would you like to address? I'm doing good, thank you.
Oh, good, good. Thanks for your hard work for us all. I have just a couple of issues. I don't know if it available to address two issues or do I just do one?
Well, let's choose the one that bothers you the most right now, and then we'll see how time goes.
Okay, I think it would be digestion, I guess specifically constipation.
Okay. And what is the feeling, besides the discomfort, of course, physically, what is the feeling or belief, negative belief that you're experiencing with this condition?
Worry.
Okay. On a scale from 1 to 10, how strong is that?
Probably eight, perhaps.
Okay. Okay, that feeling, that fear, worry, do you recall ever having that same kind of worry or fear before, earlier
yes.
in your life?
Oh,
okay,
yes.
What is the earliest memory of you ever feeling that?
You mean
how
old
young?
I was?
Yeah. What age are you?
I was probably around 2, and it was just a lot of turmoil and, you know, stress in the home being raised.
Okay. So what I would recommend that we do for this is,
yes.
Now it's the primary category, if you were to work in the 12, would be the peace category. However, there's probably memories in every category that are contributing to this.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to take the process or the code that I give you and bring it through all 12 categories, looking for any memories that have a sense of fear or worry in them, no
okay.
matter what it's about, whether it's about a physical issue or a relation. They're usually always related in some
yeah.
way to somebody, either yourself, somebody
yeah.
else, or God.
Okay.
All right. So would you like to have a trilogy process or a custom code?
I think trilogy is where my strongest belief would be. So, yes, please.
Okay, we're going to do trilogy. Okay, can you say for me, I desire to be healthy.
I desire to be healthy.
I am ready to test truthfully.
And I believe to test truthfully.
Okay, good. Say the fear issue.
The fear issue.
All right, just a moment. Okay, for the first minute, you're going to start with the eyebrows and tap all the way down to the side of the hand. So that's just going to be one clean sweep. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, the second time through, you're going to tap in this order. Thumb, side of hand.
Okay.
Then up under the eyes. Then the eyebrows. Under
okay.
the nose.
Okay.
Chin.
Okay.
Collarbone.
Okay.
Sore spots.
Okay.
Side of the hand, again. You could do one or both hands.
Okay.
Under the arms.
Okay.
Under the nipples.
Okay.
And then do the 9G.
Okay, got it.
Okay. And then we're going to do the governing conception and chakras?
Yes.
Okay. So the first one is we're going to start at the base and go all the way up, just a clean sweep. All the way up and over to the top of the spine.
Okay.
Okay, the second time we're going to start at the heart.
Start at the heart, okay.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to pause there for a few seconds and imagine it being opened and just filled to overflowing with this positive energy.
Okay.
Then you're going to slide down to below the belly button. And you're going to pause there for a few seconds.
Okay.
And then slide down to the base and pause there for a few seconds.
Okay.
Then we're going to go all the way up and over and pause at the top of the spine when you get there.
Okay.
And then we're going to do this one more time, and you can do this however you like. You can go up and over if you like, or I would recommend doing a little bit longer, though, and that's starting at the base and just pausing at every single energy center. Just take your time going up. If you feel, it feels, wow, that feels good when I, put my hands on my heart, and go ahead and stay there a little longer. It's fine. It's really up to you. I mean, these are basically a 3-minute process, but if you want to do it longer, on any of these points. You can always do that. You can repeat the tapping. You could repeat the code. You could repeat the minute number three. We call it minute number three, but if you want to do it for 6 minutes, go for it.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay, well, thank you.
You are so welcome. God
bless
you.
So I do this for like one time at least, minimum.
Yeah, I would say if you're going to work, this is a primary issue for you, and it is a primary issue. So I would do this at least once or twice a day. If you have other issues, so you mentioned you had something else. If this is bothering you the most, you always want to pay more attention to the one bothering you the most.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, it's connected to any other secondary issues. So you don't necessarily need to have a second process.
There you
to
go.
To address another issue.
Okay, lovely. Mm-hmm. All right, and then how long should I do this?
At least, I would say use this for 2 weeks.
2 weeks, okay.
And once or twice a day, twice would be preferable, but if you do it a little bit longer, then once a day is okay. You could do it more. You could do it. Some people do it many times a day. It's up to you.
Okay, I'll believe for that luxury. Okay,
a lot of times what people will do, and Alex recommends this all the time, I do this for personal clients too, is record yourself speaking, you know, the process, you know, just go ahead and direct yourself in a recording, you know, as far as the tapping goes and then the heart, and then the healing code and then the governing and conception. If you just record yourself doing that, then all you have to do is push play and follow along every time.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Oh, it works wonderful. And actually, that's what I do for most all of my clients, those that choose to. I will record it for them and do it. So you could even play, if you have the master key, you could play the master key in the background. You can play, you know, something nice that helps you just get into that zone. These are all things that we're finding work really, really good.
Oh, yay. We'll take it all.
Okay.
Okay, dear. Thank you so much. You're the best.
Okay. Well, God bless you. You have a wonderful week.
Same to you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. So I think that's going to be it for today. I want to encourage you all to give us some feedback. You can always go to feedback@thehealingcodes.com. Let us know how you're doing. Well, if you have any suggestions or ideas or things that you may like Alex to address, we're open for suggestions on how to improve these calls all the time. So we will meet you again next week. God bless you all. Bye-bye.